The point of the Lord's Supper, one of the great reasons he gave it to us, is for a purifying of the church. That the members be right. I want to look at this real quick. All right, let's read our text first, starting in verse number 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another." Let's pray. God, I just pray that, Lord, you'd help us to look at this passage tonight. I pray that you prepare us, and Lord, help us to think on these things as we have, Lord, over a week here, or 2 weeks, I guess, before we partake. Lord, I just pray that we do some examination and take this real. And God, that we would stop and ask ourselves the question, am I right with you? And Father, just please help us, Lord. In your name I do pray. Amen. In our church, right now, as we are approaching August the 21st, we should be examining ourselves and making sure that we're right with God. We all need to do that. Every one of us. You say, well, and this is an uncomfortable topic, right? Because we don't like to get personal. If I had the time, I'd go around the room and ask everyone individually, do you need to get right with God? And then you look at me, do you need to get right with God? Because as we approach the table, we need to ask ourselves that question. When I look at this passage, I want you to just see a few things and, you know, just follow along real quick, all right? But I see, number one, a reflection. In verses 23 through 26, one of the great purposes of the Lord's Supper, first of all, is a reflection, or to look back. What are we looking back? In verse number 23 and 24, we're looking at his body, which was shattered for us, broken for us. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread." Then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." The reason why the Lord instituted the way he did is because that bread has been torn. That bread has been handled by man. That bread has been broken in pieces. God allowed man to do that to him. Man never had the authority over him. He willingly laid down himself for us. But he allowed man to take his hands and strike the face of God, to scourge him, to literally tear his body to a place to where you could not even tell, as Isaiah said, that that was the visage of a man. He was so torn, it was hard to tell that was a human. That's what the Bible says. He was mocked, he was slapped, he was spit upon, crown of thorns, nails, and we know all these things, but the problem is we don't think about these things. He allowed all that to happen because of our sin. Make it personal, because of my sin. He went through all of those things. His body was literally broken. It was shattered for us. His blood was shed for us. And at verse number 25, after the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." When we take that cup, it represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood that was shed for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That blood that was shed on the cross that day was unlike any other blood that's ever been upon this earth. It was holy blood. It was perfect blood. It is without blemish. It is without spot. It is the perfect blood of God. And it still in heaven speaks on our behalf. Praise God for the blood. And when we hold that cup in our hand, it is to remind ourselves of what it took so that we could be saved. His body had to be broken for us. His blood had to be shed for us. And then in verse number 26, we're reflecting on the blessing that is being shown by us. It says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We are a testimony. This is what I have believed in. This is why I'm going to heaven. Because God came and he gave himself for me. He shed his blood for me. And that broken body given upon the cross, taking all the sin upon itself, that blood which was shed and still speaks on my behalf and your behalf, I'm going to heaven. I believe this. And we are showing the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's churches will continue to keeping this ordinance until the coming of the Lord. It's a time of reflection, but then you see in the next verse, it's beginning. It's a time of research. First of all, you see an exhortation in verse number 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." You can partake unworthily. And you can choose not to partake unexcusably. It's required that we examine ourselves. In other words, we need to make sure that we're right with God. To take it unworthily or to not take it because you don't want to get right with God, you are disregarding the body and the blood of Christ. Amen. You're disregarding the body and the blood of Christ. Read the verse. "Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Know what it says? You're disregarding the body and the blood of Christ. You are disrespecting the body and the blood of Christ. You are, here's a hard one to swallow, despising the body and the blood of Christ. See, I'm not despising it. If you refuse to get right with God, you are. Because Christ did that so that you could have forgiveness of sins. And to say, "I don't want to get right, I'm just not going to partake," you're saying, "Sorry, God, that your son did all that, but I'm not willing." He said, that's harsh. That's the truth. It's talked about in Hebrews chapter, is it 10? I should have wrote this down. Hebrews chapter, let me find it real quick. Yeah, Hebrews 10:29, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." That's what it's saying. When we choose to continue in sin and not get right, or we know there's issues and we're just going to take it and act like we don't have these issues and refuse to get right with God, we are disregarding the body and the blood of the Lord, disrespecting the body and the blood of the Lord, and despising the body and the blood of the Lord. See, this is really hard. I know. We don't like to talk about it, but that's the truth. That's the truth. So what should I do? Get right with God. Whatever it takes. There's an exhortation in verse 27 and verse number 28. There's then an examination. "But let a man," do what? "Examine himself." There's an examination. See, our issue is this. Our issue is this, that, and I grew up in church, so I totally know what I'm speaking of, right? Guilty. I've been guilty of this. We look around and say, "Well, I'm not living in adultery. I'm not, committing fornication every day. I'm not robbing banks. I'm not on drugs. I'm not an alcoholic." And we just kind of stop. I'm good. And so we just cruise right into the Lord's Supper because I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. Police aren't looking for me. I sit in church, put my tithe in, I sing my song. So I'm good, right? The Bible doesn't say cruise on in if you're not committing certain sins. Everyone is to what? Examine ourselves. What are we looking for? You know, and I stopped and thought about that. What are we looking for? And then it was like the Lord said, you already gave the list. Remember in Sunday school? We called it the access points. In Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and the beginning of chapter number 6, Paul lists all the different ways that Satan can get an advantage in our life. Now, when you start going through that list, which is in the Bible, amen? We made that list straight from the Word of God that these things aren't supposed to be in our life. Amen? So now let's examine that list. And I wrote these things down. Again, before, as we examine ourselves to say, am I right with God? Instead of just making a man-made list of certain sins that we think, well, I'm not doing those, so I'm good. Let's actually take a biblical list and answer the question, do I need to get right with God? Am I walking worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there pride in my life? Have I been impatient with people? Have I not been loving? Do I have a critical spirit? Are there doctrinal errors? Here's one. Am I worldly? That's Paul's list in Ephesians. That's a little bit different than going out and committing adultery and robbing banks. That means this, do I love the world? As he says in Ephesians, am I refusing to put on the new man and take off the old man? In other words, do I love this world and love my flesh? Am I wearing what I want to wear because I want to wear it, despite what the Bible says? Am I going to places and doing things and being involved in things because everyone's doing it? And I know the Bible says that we should stay away from those things, but I like it. You say, well, if I start answering these questions, I might not be able to partake. No, that's the point. Do you need to get right with God? I'm not preaching at you. God's been hammering me with this, man. Today's been a long day, more studying on him. Worldly. Is your entertainment just so stacked full of just filth? Demonic things. And fearful things. Because those things are not of God. And if they're not of God, they're of this world. Lying. Anger. Greed, evil speaking, foolish jesting, bitterness, disobedient to the Holy Spirit, wrath, clamor, malice, being unkind, hard-hearted, refusing to follow God, unforgiving, covetous, fornicating, filthiness, whoremongering, idolatry, and enjoying being around those who do, not displaying the fruit of the Spirit of God, not walking with God, alcohol, marital issues, children, listen, children are being disobedient. So I should tell them not to. No, you should teach them, set them down. We're about to take the Lord's Supper. You've been rebellious. You need to ask God to forgive you. And have them pray and ask God to forgive them. Don't teach them to skip it. That's the wrong teaching, right? Teach them to address it and get right with God. As an employee, as an employer, are you handling those around you right? Now, that's not everything on that list, but that list is a little bit different to what we normally think when we examine ourselves, right? And hearing that list, I just ask you a question. Do you need to get right with God? It's easy to say I'm not, you know, doing drugs. By the way, that really wasn't on that list, was it? Now, we can classify it under a few of those things. But that list is very personal. That list is for us. And you can't pick and choose what things you think is sin or not. And by the way, moms and dads, when you start picking and choose what you think, well, I know what was preached, but we just don't want to do it that way. Good luck in the future. Because you're teaching your kids that they have the power and the right to decide what's right and wrong, despite what the Word of God says. And one day, they're going to tell you you're wrong. And don't come crying, wondering, why are my kids going this way when you trained them to do that? See, you got mean when you went to Colorado. Now, I've been praying a lot and studying on this, getting ready for the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's really burdened me because our church has some issues we need to get right with God. We do. And I love our church enough to say we need to do that. Because someday we need to present ourselves to the heavenly bridegroom as pure as we possibly can. And if that's not serious to you, then something's really wrong in your heart. And you should desire that. So thus let a man examine himself. I thought when I was putting a sermon together, I can almost hear some people in their mind saying, well, I just think I'll skip that Sunday night. God have mercy. If that's how much we love our sin that we don't want to get right with God. So I'm going to have to really stop and do some praying and thinking. Yeah, me too. But isn't that what it's about? That's what it's about. You see an exhortation in verse 27, an examination at the beginning of verse 28, at the end of verse number 28, an expectation. An expectation. Let a man examine himself, and then, so what? Let him what? Eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The expectation is everyone partakes after we examine ourselves. So the expectation is that everybody, every member of Kazadel Baptist Temple on the 21st after the evening service, it is God's expectation that every one of us that are members of this church be here and partake of that supper. Well, I'm just not going to come that night. You are disrespecting, despising the body and the blood of Christ. Well, I'll just sit there and not partake. You are disrespecting and despising the blood of Christ because his body was broken and his blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness. Do you? That's what we're stopping to realize, what it cost so that we could have peace with God, so that we could be declared justified, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. We must examine ourselves and then get right and partake. You see the reflection, the research, and then you see number three, the repercussions. Verse 29 and 30. I believe in verse number 29, if we were to skip it or take it unworthily, I believe number one, we're provoking God. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's that verse mean? I'm not going to get right. I don't want to get right. I know what you went through, Jesus, but it's not enough to convince me to get right with you. So I would never say it, but that's what we do. That's what it is. When we get down to it, that's what's happening. We're refusing to get right with God, if that's the case, and we're saying, I know what you did. I know what you went through. I know your blood that was shed. I know the anguish. I know the sorrow. I know all the sins of the world was cast upon you. I know the burden and the dread and the awfulness of that. But I like my sin. You say, oh, that's right? I still like to be mad at that person. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to quit watching this. I don't want to quit wearing this. I like skipping church. I like whatever it is that the Holy Spirit might... I like my worldliness. I like my hard heart. I have a critical spirit. That's the way I'm geared. No, that's your flesh. Tell it no. You see, there comes a point where if we sit there, we are provoking God. I know what your son did, but I refuse to get right. We eateth and drinketh damnation to ourself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're provoking God. And then I wrote in verse number 30 that you can expect a punishment from God for this cause. Now, is the Bible true? Amen. For this cause, because not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Weak, sickly, and many sleep. I've been having a discussion with a pastor friend of mine, and we've been kind of going back and forth on this. I just asked him a simple question. I said, I trust you, and I said, do you think if people are disregarding the Lord's Supper, that sin will cause other people to be weak, sick, and die? My opinion, which I didn't share with him till after he was done, I don't believe that's the case. Because it says there, he that let a man examine himself. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation to himself. And by the time we were done, we both agreed with that. But I just only told you that to say I threw it out there. But if God does, because I have other scriptures, all of Israel suffered when Achan stole the bacon, right? That's how I always remember his name, right? When he was a thief and disregarded God, right? But I tend to say that I think that God would only bring that upon the person based on the reading of the scriptures. But at the same time, God will do that. If we go into the Lord's table and partake of it unworthily because we don't want to get right, or we just don't want to take it and we skip the time that God commanded and all that Jesus suffered and went through so we could, and we just don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying God's up in heaven sitting there going ready to strike people down, making them weak. Weak and sickly are two different things. Weak is like just done with life. Can't go on. Sickly. Sleep is death. I am not saying that if someone's weak, it's because they've been taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. I am not saying if someone's sick, it's because they've been taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. I'm not saying when someone dies, it's because they've taken the Lord's Supper unworthily. Anybody catch that? That's not the case. All right? But it can be, because God said so. Can be. And to whom much is given, much more is required. So why would you quote that verse? Because you know. That's what the Bible says. So do you need to get right with God? Do you need to examine yourself and get some things right? You see, the reflection, the research, the repercussions. Number four, the reason. The reason. So why did God institute this ordinance for the church? What is the reason? Well, the reason in verse number 31, number one, is to get right. Amen? Verse 31, for if we would judge what? Ourselves. We should not be judged. Amen? I mean, the whole point is to examine ourselves, and as we enter and prepare to partake, all right, and we approach the table, if we will take the time to examine ourselves, we don't have to worry about any chastening from the Lord. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So the point is, as Paul's saying, get right with God. Amen. Verse number 32, get reminded. Reminded of what? But when we are judged, if there comes a point that we say, no, I'm not going to get right, and God does have to chasten. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Be reminded of what? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Reminded of what? You say, well, you mean God will actually chasten people for not taking the Lord's Supper worthily or taking it unworthily or whatever the case may be? Yeah, because the Bible says so. So that's a harsh God. No, he does it because he loves you. Here's a little quote I read today in Matthew Henry's commentary. Divine chastening is a sign of divine love. He chastens because he loves you, with a close relationship love. All three of my children have been chastened by their father. They've all had spankings. They've all been disciplined. I have never chastened Brother Jordan's kids, because they're not my kids. I love them. But there's a different love and a relationship between Alex, Grace, and Hope and Malachi and Noah and Thaddeus and Ira. And there's a different relationship there. The Lord chastens us because he loves us. And we need to get right, or we need to get reminded of why he would do this. But the ultimate point in verse number 32 is to get revived, that we should, look what it says, not be condemned with the world. That's not talking about, well, you're in the sin and you're going to lose your salvation, right? We always compare Scripture with Scripture. Once saved, the Bible teaches you have eternal security. But there is a way of the world. There's a way of the transgressor. All that is in the world, the world passeth away. Right? There is a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end is what? Death, destruction. The way of the transgressor is what? Hard. You see, God has the Lord's Supper. Everybody look, follow me. God has the Lord's Supper, so we as a church can, one of the great reasons is to examine ourselves so that we get right with God. If we don't, God will chasten us. But either way, God's going to keep us, because he doesn't want us to go down that path. Amen? He doesn't want us to live that hard life. He doesn't want us to end up in destruction. There are times that even some sleep, that God will take some home because he loves them. And he sees what sin is doing to them, and he sees that they are refusing to get victory. So he says, just come home where sin can't touch you anymore. It's the mercy of God, because he loves his children. And he doesn't want us to go through those things. So if we would examine ourselves and judge ourselves, the whole purpose is this, so that we be not condemned with this world. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. So what's that mean? That means this. Give space and time. We'll wait on each other. If we need to get something right, let's wait. If someone said, I need to hold on before we partake of this Lord's Supper, I need to go get right with my brother or sister, we'll tarry. But I think it's one of the reasons why we let each other know we're going to partake, because we'll stop the night of. Someone says, I've never been scripturally baptized. We'll get scripturally baptized and then partake of the Lord's Supper. But tarry one for another. In other words, we need to give time to make sure that we're right. That's what we're doing. And when it's announced, you know, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, prepare. It's not sit there and imagine what it's going to be like. No, it's examine. More than just, I'm not a drug addict. Let's take God's list and be honest with those areas. Do you need to get right with God?